Whether it's a midweek game on the continent or a big weekend clash, cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match of up to $100.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network, Suboptimal Radio.
You know, for me, I don't necessarily think I crossed the line, but I was certainly very emotional in the moment trying to make a point. And I was disappointed that it wasn't reviewed, and obviously disappointed that I was given a red.
It's Rog. It's Friday, and we made it to the end of another week. Heads up, there'll be no Premier League football this weekend. I know, I feel as shocked as, well, Chris Pine when Harry Styles just sat by me. But we will talk about the reasons why more in depth on the show to come. But the big news that transcends football, obviously, is yesterday's passing of Elizabeth II. A seismic moment. A transitional one in every regard, truly historic, a word we use far too often, but in this case, it is utterly true. A moment that is letting loose all kinds of deeply harbored and complex human emotions, anguish, love, mourning, yes, but also anger, resentment, a whole panoply ricocheting around. And honestly, I can't wait to pod with Davo on Monday. He posted this morning on Instagram about how he never met the Queen. And this is his quote. He said, "It's one of my few regrets. But as I sit here in an airport lounge in Munich, devouring the unanimously glowing and elegant obituaries in all the European newspapers, I feel not so much grief rather than tremendous gratitude, an almost incomparable lifetime of service and duty. God save her." And to be clear, Davo and I, we talked a lot about this on the podcast. We have very differing opinions on this matter, and I can't wait to hear his thoughts, his experiences, his emotions. And as regular listeners of our podcast also know well, I am not a monarchist at all, not by any stretch of the imagination. You know that I hail from Liverpool in the northwest of England. If you've listened to this, you know what the city was like when I grew up. It was hit terribly hard in the post-industrial age. Economically, in the 1980s, the Thatcher era, city, unemployment soared, heroin epidemic. The city was really left to rot. And in addition, the city is heavily Irish. And as a result, it is profoundly anti-royalist. Many Liverpudlians maintain that they're Scousers, not English. Just listen, any time, I was going to say a club from Liverpool, but really we're talking about Liverpool at this point, aren't we? Play an FA Cup final at Wembley and the national anthem plays and you just have to hear how Liverpool fans react to that. God, I wish Everton fans had the chance to react to that too. Maybe, God willing, one day. But part of the reason also I loved America and became American, a citizen, was to get away from all this, to be honest. But despite all that, I still realise, even I realise, just the enormous sense of loss part of the United Kingdom has experienced in the past 24 hours. To be honest, I only have to pick up the phone and speak to my mum, Val, for that to become abundantly clear. The Queen, for Valerie Bennett, has been an ever-present in her life. And losing the Queen creates an absence, a deep sadness, I think a fear of the future in this moment of chaos. And when you do look at Elizabeth's life, the historical through line of her arc was utterly remarkable. Her links to the Second World War alone are deeply profound, deeply moving. 96 years of service to the nation. albeit in that peculiar yet onerous symbolic way that a modern monarch serves, really stands as a singular life, almost an iconic one, one of gilded sacrifice. And on this podcast, we've often joked that all Britain has now in the eyes of the world is the Premier League, the Royal Family, and Downton Abbey. And the latter's no longer in production. And for many in England, the quietly stoic Queen was really the best of the royals, a scandal-plagued institution which will now plunge into transition in a post-Brexit Britain. It's already buckling amidst chaos. And not for the first time on this podcast, I say, thank God then for football. And as I say that, the football's been cancelled. But let's dig in. And one quick note before we do. Dear GFOP, save the date, October the 11th, 8 p.m. Eastern time. We are going to have a loving on the day that Gods of Soccer comes out. We're going to have a large digital event and you are invited. All of you human beings, incredible ones who have pre-ordered our new book, Gods of Football. You may have heard of it. Just register if you have, and you will get all of the thank yous that we will send to you. The new MIB patch, which has just come out. I just got one. It is beautiful. Even more beautiful, arguably, the limited edition print from the book itself, as well as the invitation to the virtual book launch celebration on October the 11th. Again, 8 p.m. Eastern time. It'll be a magical evening. If you've not pre-ordered yet, please, please come and be with us. You just have to upload proof of purchase and you will get all the details. Register for this event at meninblazers.com/gods of soccer. Do it now with our love and deep, deep thanks. And remember, support indie bookstores, America. Producer Jonah, sting me up. WGFOP. That was the Bobby Firmino tribute sting. Keep sending these beauties in. That's magnificent. From Ben Bannister, Double B, out of Knoxville. A new sting in honour of Crazy Bobby's ongoing contributions to 9-0 victories. We love Bobby here on WGFOP Weekend Preview, the show where you call in all of the big questions you need answered ahead of the footballless weekend. And I answer them like that new VAR technology in the Champions League with microscopic focus on minutiae that don't actually matter that much. Call in your questions to 646 450 9472 and it can be your voice on the pod.
Football family, in sending our deepest condolences and heartfelt sympathy to the royal family, Old Trafford, please stand to observe a moment of silence in her memory.
At 6:31 a.m. Eastern Time this morning, just started to write the newsletter and the Premier League announced it would postpone this weekend's slate of games, quote, as a mark of respect to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. And to be clear, the government had told the Premier League that the games could go ahead, but that they would leave the final decision up to them, which honestly, I think was probably a punt by the new government, because it's no doubt for the Premier League powers that be a double-edged sword to have to wrestle with. They held an emergency meeting this morning, decided to cancel, and it must have been a bloody difficult, thorny, complex decision, fusing so many dimensions: practical, political, sporting, economic. You know, on one hand, the pre-game rituals, just imagine them, knowing as you do how the Premier League handles these moments and can handle them quite beautifully, would have enabled the nation to experience a powerful moment. And on the other, in this political climate of division and culture war, playing the games, my God, they'd have to think this through. How much could playing the games bite us down the road politically if something crops up that we can't even imagine will be talked about as the selfish clubs and the rich players who live in a bubble and didn't respect our majesty. How much could that come back to haunt them down the road? And yes, Rugby Union announced they would proceed with their games, and they came up with a beautiful rationale too. They tweeted, "Rugby at its heart is about community and bringing people together in good times and in sad." And to be clear, I read that and I thought, you know, Rugby Union can do that. It is a tough game. And football, with its working class roots and its lambeaued players who are mostly working class lads made good, is such a lightning rod. Just look at how it was used as a piñata by the government in Britain at the beginning of COVID. They got absolutely battered and dragged through the mangle. So the Premier League decision makers would have had to have done that dance. They would have had to weigh up things we don't even think about as fans, like the nation's policing capacity, or on the other side, the economic impact of cancellation. You think about match day stadium workers who rely on that freelance income that they get around match day and now will have to go without at a time of austerity. And I got to say this, I feel, when I heard the news, just an enormous empathy for all fans who travelled huge distances to fulfil their long-held dreams to watch the games, particularly the Americans who had crossed the Atlantic. Can you imagine getting on that plane just joyous that you were going to see the team you've loved from afar, watch them in many cases for the first time? We've heard from so many of you who are over there now making your footballing dreams come true. Long-held ones, GFOP, at No Name Share, wrote to us on Instagram, "Travelled to see Arsenal this weekend from the land of Wisconsin." At Clay Sellers 98, "Here from Charlotte to see Liverpool. Don't even know what to say." We have heard from dozens of you and we feel your agony. Big love to all of you. I feel your pain. I want to buy you all a bud of commiseration. And I do think the reaction to no football is going to be super complex, and we will have much more to talk about on Monday. The act of collective mourning in our age, in which the collective has culturally, politically, social medially been transformed. I think this will actually go one of many ways. There may be an overwhelming nostalgia and a true sense of reconnection over the weekend, or in a nation already divided by Brexit, so much more fraying. We will see. But to those of you who are listening in England and are in mourning, I do wish you strength. But to the football, and before you take your questions, here's two things that really gave me joy this week.
Fabio Vieira, busy little bee of a player, and Nketiah makes the run. Camberi goes with him, and Nketiah sent it across. Great chance for the opening goal. And it's Marquinhos. The Brazilian teenager scores on his Arsenal debut. What a moment for him.
Oh, yes, more Arsenal joy, and God bless. That was a beautiful moment, that first goal, those Brazilian young tears. But I did derive incredible pleasure from watching Matt Turner of New Jersey make his debut for Arsenal in the Europa League yesterday. An American, remember, who did not start playing football seriously until he was 16 years of age, but who has willed himself to the elite level through hard work, personal goal setting, which he takes super bloody seriously. And when you understand this story, sheer tenacity after being written off so many bloody times. I find Matt Turner incredibly inspirational. Just find the podcast that we tape with Matt, released recently on American States United, in which he talks about his journey, all of the obstacles, the failures he had to overcome. And tell me that it doesn't motivate you to do the same in your own life. To Matt, his growing family, and his continued success, big, big love to you. And second, this.
Constant booming voice of Conte saying, "Play, play, play." Well, here's Perisic. He'll step onto the right foot. It's Richarlison! Breakthrough for Tottenham Hotspur. And Richarlison has his first goal as a Spurs player.
Watching Richarlison's tears shed along with his father after the Tottenham striker had scored twice in his Champions League debut were, oh God, immense. I swear, when I saw them, I knew what they really were. They were a childhood dream, unfulfilled, to score Champions League goals with Everton Football Club. And a reflection, sometimes you've got to give up the perfect for the merely good. But irrespective, to watch a professional footballer express such genuine emotion after achieving his dreams is, it's peak. And I know a lot of you cannot stand Richarlison, and you make it very clear to us in an almost Dennis Rodman-esque fashion, yet I love him. I do, and I get so much pleasure still from watching him thrive, because he's that kind of human being. Yes, he's not always big at the passing. Yes, he's even less skilled at the staying on your feet part of football, but my God, in terms of just pure cult shithousery life energy, that man cannot be beat. Shine on, you crazy bad gen. And here's Antonio Conte talking about Richarlison and Richarlison dad.
I remember very well when we signed him. He said, I can't wait to play, to listen the Champions League music and to play in this competition. This morning I remember him. I said, Richie, I remember what you said, and tonight you have your opportunity, your chance, and you deserve this, and enjoy this moment and try to do your best.
Question me up.
Hey, Raj, this is Chris from San Rafael, California, a proud Evertonian, and I also root for Brighton. And I can't believe that Chelsea would fire Thomas Tuchel at this point. But what I also can't believe is that Brighton would allow Graham Potter to leave. I don't know how it works in the Premier League. The way, for instance, Everton gave up Richarlison. How can you get enough money to replace Richarlison, what he means to the team, especially when they're so close to being relegated? And now Brighton has this incredible coach that's done unbelievable things for them, and they agree to let him go if he wants? I don't know. Can you explain that to me, Roger? Because I really don't understand it. The money that they get, that's not going to replace Graham Potter. A coach like that is incredibly rare. Thanks very much. I love you both. Courage.
Chris, from San Rafael, California. I'll talk about Graham Potter a little bit more in a moment. But first, yes, massive football news this week. Chelsea Football Club consciously uncouple with Thomas Tuchel. Went down in the early hours of Wednesday morning, and it felt both singularly astonishing, yet warmly familiar in that Chelsea kind of way. The club had just truly sold themselves at Dinamo Zagreb in the Champions League, and that loss followed prior humiliations to Leeds and Southampton. But still, the timing was astonishing, and the context, as I'll come back to, was truly astonishing. Timing because, well, the club had just spunked over $300 million on new players, some of whom were still in a shiny new plastic, and some of whom, like Aubameyang, had explicitly declared that they come to Chelsea to work with Thomas Tuchel in the first place. And got to say, all of that, the amount of money and what it was spent on, looks very fire ready aim on behalf of Todd Boehly, especially as when you speak to people around the club, they single out that the relationship between the two men, between Thomas Tuchel and Todd Boehly, had been quite frayed for some time. A reality that's never good between manager and owner, but particularly untenable when that same owner is also working as the interim director of football. So when you have two men no longer speaking directly and reportedly falling over, most significantly over Tuchel's rejection of Ronaldo. My God, I would have loved to have heard those conversations. Managers, when they're dealing with owners, particularly American owners, fume about people who are football people who understand the game and non-football people who have no understanding of the game. And that may have gone down, but once there was a run of bad results and Tuchel has presided over a run of bad results, this could only end in one way. After the prior departures of Tuchel's allies, Marina Granovskaya, the director, and also Peter Cech, the technical advisor, the club is now 100% in Burnley's hands, which is a signal I believe he's been trying to send anyway. We talked about this on the podcast this week, all of the photographs. It's him meeting the new transfers, beaming in his golden gooses. He is telling us this is Bowley ball. And we will find out now in this new era whether there is a method to Bowley ball as well as a madness. Last word on Tuchel. He's going to leave Stamford Bridge. Fear not. He will have memories of that instant impact. Do you remember the days when we were like, he's showing up, Ole. You can have instant impact. Champions League glory. That was the instant impact. Three finals losses. Overseeing a regime change. Experiencing a familial separation. And no doubt taking a lot of tap from the sale rack at the club shop with him. As well as nearly $18 million reportedly in severance. And whatever you think of the style of his football, and from an American perspective, the purgatory into which he cast Christian Pulisic, he never listened to a single positive tweet that we Americans could find about CP10 statistics. I do admire Thomas Tuchel for the singularly noble way that he handled an unprecedented chaos. I mean, no one in football had to do what he had done when Roman Abramovich, who was the club, suddenly, I mean, it was flight from Chelsea that he presided over, Thomas Tuchel, right after the invasion of Ukraine. And this is how I remember the Tuchel era at Chelsea. It's the gem, a deeply intelligent gem, acting incredibly nobly.
You know, you always start the sentence, the question, with the same sentence. Yeah, there are, we know there are much more important things than football, but like, can you comment? But you decide also to ask me about war, and how often do I need to say it? It's horrible. Of course, it's horrible. There cannot be any other opinion about it. And that's it. But why should we be more distracted than you at work? I mean, that's what I meant when I said it in the first place. Of course, it's out there. And we know there are more important things out there. And this will never change. This is about sports. And there are a lot of more important things out there. And still, we still there's a huge distraction now going on. And we are worried. But at the end, still, we try to create an atmosphere to come to work and focus on our work, which is our passion. So we are very, 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 very grateful and very privileged to have it. And we will. And it's not that big a problem. But of course, I think that everybody in Europe, more or less, has like, has some noise in his head that nobody likes, and that it's maybe the same for you. But still, you try to do your job as good as possible, and that's the same for us.
You know what feels even better than correctly predicting the outcome of a football game? Winning up to 100 times your cash while doing it. Cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types. That's what makes Prize Picks America's number one fantasy sports app. We love easy gameplay here at Men in Blazers. Just love it. Easy gameplay. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments of the sports season. Look, for Everton fans, it's not been the easiest campaign, although it hasn't been the worst either yet. .. But one way to make those Sean Dyche-induced draws more exciting, Prize Picks. Love smashing more on Jordan Pickford saves, less on Michael Keane passes completed, and much, much less on Beto goal contributions. Oh, it allows me to feel good about feeling bad. Download the app today and use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48-ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favourites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this, as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke Espresso Blend, have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. And be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. Next question.
Hey, Rog. I'm Robert, a Manchester City supporter out of Kansas City. Our OSC site is the Press, Penny, and Waldo. Come on out. My question is, at the rate Chelsea go through managers, is this more of a loan, and in 18 months, Brighton can just have him back? Thanks. Have a great day.
Robert, oh, Kansas City, Oklahoma Joes, I'd love me some of those right now. Enter Graham Potter. And the first question is, why would he take this job? Has he not watched season one of Game of Thrones? Does he not know what happened to Ned Stark? I mean, what a cautionary tale that was. You do a provincial job in a dedicated, meaningful fashion. Should never take a leap to become the King's Hand. Never do it. It can only end in one way. With your neck on the chopping block. And Chelsea is King's Landing for Graham Potter. But why would he do it? I can think of at least one $40 million a year reason for him to step up and take the Chelsea role. But Miguel Delaney wrote a piece that I'd encourage you to find. I think we tweeted it out. It was in this morning's newsletter. Where he wrote about the plan for Chelsea going forward. And there is a blueprint. They want to walk a different path than other big clubs who... And if this is Todd Bowley's idea, this is not wrong. Who simply reheat the same old big managers, your Mourinho's, your Carlo Ancelotti's, your Pochettino's. And Bowley's aim is to do something different. It's to partner Potter, who both as a human being and as a football tactician is incredibly progressive. Going to partner him with a brilliant, quote, hopefully, director of football who Potter himself will help choose. There'll be a dynamic duo. They'll create a long-term strategy for a bold, planful, innovative future for Chelsea Football Club. And will it work? Who knows? Look, there's so much to admire about Potter. He is a brilliant man, a tactician, a personnel motivator. Above all, he's shown he's a deeply empathetic leader, and his rise from Östersunds in Sweden, where is that? It's nowhere. To the pinnacle of English football has been truly earned through grind, through innovation, and a willingness to embrace different ideas and to stand there in England where they do not take difference easily or lightly and be brazenly different, be his own gent. And there's always an unknown in any move like this. Can a regional bank manager who's produced unprecedented growth in the fourth quarter in a backwater branch make that leap to CEO? Can a gent who's worked with self-motivated, hungry young footballers who he's given the opportunity to lead ego-driven superstars who can't remember how many Lambos they even own and also balance the Premier League load with a side order of Champions League? Can a gent who's used to love and patience succeed at that shark tank, that trigger happy shark tank that is Stamford Bridge, where anything other than victory is defeat? And does Bowley have any idea of what he's doing at all? Let's remember, in every regard, football has a habit of making a fool out of all of us. Let's wait and see. Next question.
Hey, Rog. Sam Lehman, Brighton and Hove Albion fan, calling from a town in the French Alps, originally from St. Paul, Minnesota. I began supporting my beloved Seagulls during the Chris Hughton years in the championship, covertly watching matches on my laptop in law school. Over the years, I've experienced the joy of promotion, the butt-clenching high-wire act of relegation, and the club's record top-flight ninth-place finish last year. 2 weeks ago, I took my parents to the Amex to see the clinical strangulation of the American Badger, complete with a full water bottle spike from an incensed Jesse Marsh, and finally convinced my 67-year-old father to support Brighton and not my brother's side, Arsenal. I had just begun to dream of away days in Prague and Copenhagen. I'd bite your arm off for Albania. Now, with today's news that our one true talisman, that Buddha-calm genius tactician and man-manager Graham Potter, is likely heading to the supreme mess that is Chelsea, I find myself horribly deflated, feeling prematurely the loss of something that I never actually had. I'm sure there's a German word for that. On the one hand, I didn't fall in love with Brighton because I had dreams of success. On the other, don't we, Seagulls fans, old and new, whose club was on the brink of oblivion less than 25 years ago, deserve a brief thrill ride more than Chelsea? My question is this. In this era of hedge fund managers and petrol state owners, should supporters of clubs like Brighton ever allow themselves to dream? Or are we dooming ourselves? Because when it does somehow start to exceed your wildest hopes, you simply place a target on your back and hasten your own demise. Courage, Raj. I could certainly use some right now.
Sam, you beautiful human being, I ache for you. I ache for all Brighton fans. I mean, who is talking about the Brighton fans right now? You have soared so high. You have touched the clouds. And then you've had your wings stolen from you even before they could melt in the sun. That is bloody cruel. And football is cruel. It's sick. Modern football. You know, I was thinking about Leicester City yesterday and their champion season and the joy that that brought to fans all over the world. I realised it brought joy everywhere, apart from the boardrooms of the Big Six, where they must have had conference calls to discuss how they can make sure that kind of fun, that kind of dream, that kind of possibility could never happen again. Insert evil laughter there. No fun league. And the funny thing is, there is a food chain. So Sam, whomever you take, whoever your next manager comes from, the team you prize them from is going to feel the same pain as you do, but be even less heard from. So spare a thought for poor Bodo Glimt fans, if you will, because amongst the names favoured, your Andre Postecoglou's of Celtic, your Thomas Franks, your Potches, your Brodges, is Jettiel Knutsen, the 53-year-old manager of Rory Smith's European Knights' favourite Norwegian side near the Arctic Circle, Bodo Glimt. And Knutsen is an innovator, a genius, a pathfinder, very much like Graham Potter. And whatever he does near the Arctic Circle, can it work in the English Premier League? Who knows? But the Brighton Brain Trust is smart and data-driven and strategic. And I do believe, Sam, it's going to be happy days for you to come. Up the Seagulls! Let's have a blast of your song, Sussex by the Sea.
Hey, Raj, this is David from Abilene, Texas, Crystal Palace fan here. I was very excited last weekend when my Eagles beat Manchester City 2-1. Unfortunately, the game kept going after an hour, and Erling Haaland took over and beat us 3-0 in the last 30 minutes by himself. And then he did it again in the first half, midweek. Here's my question. One thing I love about the show is when you educate us, when you tell us about the history of English football going back pre- NBC Premier League days. And I'm wondering, who are the people that we should go find YouTube clips of? Who were the ones back prior to a decade ago who could just flat take over a game like that? We know goal scorers who can score, who can put it in the net, but the ones that you were just afraid would absolutely take over, like Haaland is doing right now. Who should we watch? Is it a Cantona? Is it a Robbie Fowler? Give us some names so that we can learn more and enjoy. Thanks, Raj. Appreciate it. Courage.
David, I love your question. You know, on last season's Men in Blazers show, we produced a segment on cult players that brought us joy. Go find the whole segment on our YouTube channel because it really lived up to its name. And one of the players we chose was Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, who spent time at Leeds and Chelsea and Middlesbrough in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I worked on this segment with my producer, Jonah, and we both got completely lost in that YouTube rabbit hole watching Jimmy Floyd's highlights. He was essentially the Dutch Steph Curry in football boots, able to take over games with the pure audacity to simply pull up from anywhere and totally just smash his laces through the ball. And the only thing more audacious in the positions he shot from words that he can make the ball swerve perfectly into the top corner for more points. Really a force of nature. Go watch his highlights. They are jaw-dropping, including this perfect hat-trick, 2002 against the Spurs.
finds Hasselbaink. Looks for Gudjonsson, might not need him. Curls it! This time, Jimmy Floyd gets it right! He had a chance early in the game, and that is pure brilliance from Jimmy Floyd. Hasselbaink. Looking for Gronkjaer. Neat touch, finds Melchior, continues his run. Here's Gronkjaer, looks for the cross, men in the box, Hasselbaink! What a fantastic move from Chelsea! And Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink has added his second and Chelsea's second. It's Chelsea 2, Spurs 0. Here's a chance for Hasselbaink to get a hat-trick. Just played wide there by Lissot. Now Stanic, Zola's in the box. Could find him, cut out by Perry, only as far as Hasselbaink. Another chance for Chelsea. Hasselbaink still has it, left-footed. He's cutting one! What a fantastic strike! Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink, it's a hat-trick!
Having said that, you honestly don't have to go to YouTube for an incredible blast of the past. I cannot be alone in feeling so elated that a legend is poised to walk amongst us again. Yes, Diego Costa, with his jazz hands, is back for Wolves. Yes, 8 months out of football, Diego Costa. Yes, nearly 34-year-old Diego Costa. But my God, just the memories of seeing him again, that dark night, that black hat, that human wonder is so bloody thrilling. And I am so happy for Wolves fans this week, some of whom could not believe their ears. Let's listen to this gent in his thick, brummy accent.
How, Diego Costa?
Diego Costa, yeah.
Yeah, he come here, has he?
Yeah, he's doing his medical at the moment.
I wasn't aware. I've seen somewhere on Facebook, but I just thought it was fake news, like, you know what I mean?
Like a deal could be done in the next kind of 24 hours or so.
That's absolutely brilliant news, but I thought the transfer window was over.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Roger, Chris Rozelle from Philadelphia, proud supporter of Tottenham Hotspur. Got a life question for you. I recently returned from dropping my oldest child off at his freshman year of college. My son is starting his college career at Coastal Carolina University in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, home of the Fighting Chanticleers. And as I was saying goodbye to him, I was struggling with what to say to try and sum up what his next 4 years could be like. And I was wondering, I don't know if you've been through this experience yet with your kids, but what would you say to your oldest child as they embarked on those 4 years of college? Can't wait to hear what you have to say. Encourage.
Chris Rozelle, you beauty. Congratulations to the Rozelle family. I love a good fighting Chanticleer as much as the next man. And look, everyone parents differently. So how I handle it does not work for everyone. But by way of context, I want to say I've told all my kids, all four of my little guys, that I don't care where they go to university. I really don't believe in them driving themselves insane to get into an Ivy League university when every single human being in my family who's ever succeeded has done it, not by virtue of where they went or what they studied, but really who they are as a person, by character, by values, by street smarts, by the decisions they make, by how they behave in good times. I think most importantly, in times of challenge, it's their ability to laugh, to listen, to empathize, to think of others, to think of the world around them, also to take nothing for granted and to attack life that way as often as they can, which is to say that at a certain point, also this, I mean, you will have heard some of this before, Chris. I've talked about this a little bit, and so have our kids. They've heard all our stories, and once they've heard all your stories, they start to tune you out, which is natural and age-appropriate and wonderful, really. And so college, honestly, comes at a bloody amazing time for the kid, and whether they know it or not, also for the parent. You know, it's almost a thing about bar mitzvahs. They come at an incredible moment when the exact second a boy or a girl's body is changing in ways they can hardly understand or comprehend and are often totally bloody freaked out by, everyone that's important in their life comes together and just says, kid, you are bloody awesome and we love you, which we all need in that moment. College comes at the very second that the kid is feeling that need to be on their own, to begin to make their own decisions, good ones or bad ones, to learn from them. There'll be failures, but they, along the way, there are going to be. But what's important, they're going to begin to live out their own life, to define themselves as their own person, because they're at a point. And all we can hope is that we've equipped them at this point to have the decision-making skills and the values to do all that in a way that makes us proud. So, Chris, I just say to your son or your daughter, savor every second. Do not waste a moment. You have the possibility of trying so many things. Stretch yourself, challenge yourself, define yourself in a way you'll never have again. That's what college is about. Imagine yourself in an office cubicle in a decade's time and fill your life at college with moments. So when you're in that cubicle, they'll make you laugh. They'll make you proud. They'll fill you with confidence, because that's what the 4 years are about. Make bloody good decisions. Good decisions are individual decisions. Don't get caught up in groupthink, particularly boys, groupthink. Oh my God. And the only other thing I'd say is, I love you. Because that's always the thing. And we can't say that enough. You know, parenting is an amazing thing. To be able to do it and to do everything else we do is truly a thing of wonder. And in that regard, I want to finish by saying I am so bloody proud of the Alex Morgan interview that we released yesterday on the Women's Game podcast, which is presented by our friends at Paramount Plus. And to spend time with Alex Morgan right now, the face of American football, at the age of 33, when she's in the midst of the club season of her life, was illuminating. To listen to a mother, a partner, an entrepreneur, a social media influencer, who somehow still is able to define herself and find the focus to be the preeminent goal machine in this nation. That conversation about balance and focus and juggling roles and the way parenting changes everything is really transcendent. So I'm going to leave you with a burst of it. This is Rog. I'm headed to Chicago for 24 hours, but I'm sending you big, big love. Hold on to your loved ones, to all of you listening at college too. I love you the most. Courage. And here's Alex Morgan. You know, your time is not your own when you're a parent. It's a cliche, but it's bloody true and it's bloody hard. What's the secret to balancing yet maintaining focus?
An incredible nanny that takes care of my daughter. I know that she's safe when she's with her, and that's the most important thing. And just like honestly, like, I didn't understand before I had a kid that it was like, oh, it takes a village to raise a child. But it's like, it actually is true. Like my mom, my dad, my mother-in-law, my sister, like they all chip in, they all help out, because both me and my husband, we work, we're busy. I play soccer and then I work after work, you know, then I own a business. And then I have a lot of brands that I'm partnered with. So I'm doing Zoom calls, I'm doing photo shoots, I'm doing commercial shoots, I'm speaking at events. Like my week is never just play soccer and go home and take care of my daughter. I do a lot more. So I think it's just like, it's a little bit of a dance when it comes to the scheduling, and it's making sure that like, you're never overwhelmed. If you are, like, you need to ask for help. And I have not been afraid to ask for help.
When I watch you, one of my moments of the season was seeing you after the United States Columbia on the field with your daughter, Charlie, teaching her your post-game stretching routine, just the two of you together, as if no one else was around watching. And I want to know, Alex, what does it feel like to have her there with you? Can you describe emotionally what you experience in those moments?
With my husband, Servando, he always wanted to be able to have his child like walk on the field with him. And he never got that opportunity because Charlie was so young and then he retired. And so for me to have that opportunity now, you know, week in and week out, it's just, I don't want to take that for granted. It's the best moment ever. You know, I go and play my game, and then afterwards it's like, Charlie doesn't care about how I did and if I scored or if I completely missed an open goal. Like, she just wants to enjoy time with me and like, just kick the ball around. And it's like the sweetest thing. It just brings you back down to earth, and you realize that like, those, what happened, like, doesn't matter. And that, like, I'm so happy every time I get to kick the ball around with her. She's kind of like a mini me.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.